You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Young men's and boys' Star Wars apparel and 10 to 40% off all NFL team apparel and home. This weekend at Kohl's. Select styles, some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
USA Headline News has learned of a new report that claims political interference in so-called family medicine. USA's Ron Taylor explains.
A liberal advocacy group is out with a new campaign targeting conservative lawmakers across the country. Deborah Ness is the president of the National Partnership for Women and Families.
We've come together because states are passing laws that are actually undermining the practice of medicine and imposing politics on health care in ways that seriously endanger patients.
Her organization has joined with several others on a report titled Politics in the Exam Room. Deborah Ness claims some states are interfering with both doctors and patients on certain medical situations.
If someone is seeking abortion care, their doctor in some states would be forced to do a...
Pamela, are you there?
Yes.
Ah, good. Let's begin.
But I don't hear you very loudly.
Well, I'm going to turn my mic up. How do you like that? How's that? Is that better?
A little more.
How's that?
Still hard.
Okay, that's as high as it goes. Is that okay now?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, I just want to let you know that we're starting the show, and this is a show that everybody waits all week for, I hope. I do. And our guest today is a dear friend of mine that I haven't met yet, but we've had a few conversations and swapped some emails, and her name is Pamela Bloom. Pam, would you like to say hello to the listening audience and explain a bit about what you do, and we'll take it from there. How's that? And also give your contact information.
Great. Well, hi, Bob. Hi, audience. I'm delighted to be with you. We've had such a connection talking over the phone. Yes, I'm Pamela Bloom, and I am a psycho-spiritual healer, working with people who have chronic and life-challenging illnesses for almost 20 years. I was very involved during the AIDS crisis in the late 80s and 90s, and still today, working with patients both privately and also at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in Manhattan.
That's impressive.
I'm on the staff at the Department of Integrative Medicine, which of course includes all the fun therapies that you can have in the hospital, like reflexology, Reiki. You can even get yoga therapy at Beth Israel in the Lower East Side in Manhattan. And also what I do, there is a Reiki department, and I offer Reiki and also other energy medicine, is what we call it, along with meditation to help reduce stress and to help relieve pain. And we've seen some really amazing things, and I'd love to talk about some of those things today.
Okay.
I'm also a writer, and I've been writing for over a number of decades, and some of my recent books are spiritual. One is called The Power of Compassion, Stories That Open the Heart, Heal the Soul, and Change the World, which you can buy on Amazon, a collection of really inspiring stories based from the Buddhist perspective about how action can really arise out of a perception of oneness. And they're stories from all walks of life, from people, from someone on death row who became a Tibetan Buddhist, and even from JFK Jr., and the moment that he met the Dalai Lama and how it affected him. But also just normal people who had events in their lives, from the civil rights era to dealing with conflict in the office, mm-hmm. how this perception of oneness can change not just oneself, but other people and the environment.
Well, that's very interesting, Pamela. Let me just intervene for a second here, because I think a lot of people might think that Buddhism is a religion, and it's not. The term Buddha means to awaken, and that's what it means. In other words, that's why they refer to Gautama as the Buddha, because he's the awakened one. And awakening means opening your mind to see the possibilities that we have within us. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I mean, I didn't want people to think that was a religion, because it's not. It's a spirituality. But go ahead.
No, exactly. And that's one side of my work. And I have another book I'll just mention, which is called Heaven Speaks.
That sounds interesting.
Interviews with Illuminated Souls. And that came from a very unusual experience. I am an intuitive. I do have clairvoyant abilities that I use in my healing work, but this was a really incredible experience with a friend of mine named Carla Flatt, who lives in another city. I live in the New York City area, and it happened on the event of the passing of Walter Cronkite, and someone made a joke, wonder what his first interview from heaven would be like. And my friend Carla is also an intuitive, and we just laughed. I mean, it was something funny. And that night, in different cities, we sat down on our computers, and Walter seemed to come through. And we shared this with each other the next day, and it seemed to be very compatible message. And then over the next 7 weeks, I have to say that we were unusually visited by in total, 8 illuminated souls, as we called them, which included Walter Cronkite, Michael Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Amelia Earhart, Paul Newman, Walt Disney, and John Lennon. And the interesting thing about this is that we both held one question in our heart. I, because of the kind of work I do, what were the lessons that you learned during this past life? And Carla wanted to know what the moments of passing were like and following. And so we were seen to be so synchronized. Each week, it seemed to be another spirit. And the incredible thing is that we didn't control this book. We didn't even guide it. We had no idea what was coming next. And people who have been reading this book, which is also available at Amazon, cry through it. 3 men told me they cried because it seems to really touch an authentic place in the heart.
Yeah, the emotions. That's what it touches.
At home of. Some reviewers said they had never read channel material that truly sounded like the person themselves. So, mm-hmm. You know, I am also a journalist. I've interviewed lots of famous living celebrities, Bob.
Oh, good. Good. There are some.
I used to be a music critic. And so part of me, when this came out, I went, oh, gosh, is this something I want to show to my family? But the truth is that it received such a poignant reception from readers that we continued to make it available. Mm-hmm. But that actually segues into what I would love to talk about, which are living patients and living clients of mine, mm-hmm. who actually have had, through the experience of healing, this experience of becoming sensitive to the connection.
We are all sensitive to the connection, but a lot of us don't realize it and shut it off, thinking, I shouldn't feel that way. And you can't deal with shoulds and shouldn'ts because otherwise, like Dr. Wayne Dyer used to say, if you deal with that, you're going to should on yourself. You know, so I mean, I just tell people, instead of complicating your feelings and everything like that, ride with them and see where they take you.
Exactly. And I think more and more people are becoming aware mm-hmm. of this connection between this realm and other realms.
Oh, definitely. You have to.
I hear so many people suddenly popping and becoming intuitive. feeling the presence of spirits. Unfortunately, Bob, we live in a culture that creates fear around this through movies that try to be horror movies, through the media itself, which makes fun of it. So in this session with you, I'd love to really talk to you about real-life people that I have had as clients, in which what I call ancestral healing really affected a monumental change.
Exactly. So it makes a big change. I just read a book on that topic, and it was phenomenal.
Yes. Do you take breaks in this?
Yes, we're going to take a break in about 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I don't want to get into that story, the first one. However, I could tell a quick one.
Tell a quick one. Give us a quickie.
I do something called Jo-Ray as well as Reiki. Reiki, if people don't know, is a practice, comes from the Japanese source, that is very much in hospital these days.
That was started by Sensei Izui, wasn't it?
In surgery, someone giving Reiki while he's performing heart surgery. And it could be explained as the transmission of energy through the hands.
Exactly. Wasn't that started by Sensei Izui in Japan? Hello?
Yes. I'm still having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, I don't want to go too loud because then it reverberates back to. Is this better?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, now was it Sensei Izui that began Reiki? Was he the founder or the first one that brought it to the fore, in other words? Not necessarily a founder because it's been here as long as eternity.
Well, it's an ancient energy.
Right.
It's someone that just became, I believe, the portal, the focal point.
Right.
As in my practice of Jo-Ray, which actually also comes from someone in the 20th century, Mokita Okada, who also had revelations how to have what's called divine light come through the hand for the benefit of another.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing that for 23 years, and what is extremely unique about Jo-Ray, it also has an understanding of the effect that our ancestral lineage can have on our health and our life situation.
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about it. But we're going to go for a break, and then we're going to come back, and you're going to discuss this more so people will have a better understanding. And so we have to go to break, but hang in there, Pamela.
Excellent.
We're only going to be a minute or two, okay?
And Looking forward.
We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Pamela, are you there? We're back. Hello? Hello? Well, no, don't worry about disconnecting. I just put you back on the air again now. Just please, okay? You don't have to call me. I'm going to put you back on again right now. There, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Then let's continue. Okay.
So I think we were talking about Reiki and Joe Ray. And
exactly.
They're both transmissions of really divine energy to the hands. And in myself, they just combine for the same experience. But recently, in one of the hospitals I work with, I had a very unusual experience. A Brazilian woman, a young Brazilian woman, had come in. She actually didn't live in New York. Her friends brought her into the emergency room, and she was having bleeding from her neck. The doctors didn't know what it was, and they kept her in the hospital. So I met her. I'm always delighted to meet Brazilians because I've written books in Brazil and I speak Portuguese. And I offered her the energy healing I do. But she was, for a Brazilian, very, very kind of guarded. And I decided I would come back the next day. And her parents were there who had come in from, I think, Rio, were very charming. And so I offered, again, the energy healing to her. And in the middle, she said, please, please, go get the nurse because I'm bleeding. So she had suddenly started to bleed again. And it was kind of traumatic and a lot of rushing around. And afterwards, I asked her, what did you experience during the energy healing? And she said, well, I fell into a horrible kind of nightmare in which two spirits seemed to be sucking at my blood and had taken me off into the mountain. And so in this case, I said, well, you know, just these things come up, you just let them go and don't really dwell on it. So I went back and sat in the nurse's station, and I went, oh, my God, what was that? And I finally asked the nurse, what do the doctors think is wrong with her? And he said, well, they haven't figured it out. And then she added, but you know, 10 years ago, she had been in a car accident and had hurt the vertebrae in her neck. And suddenly it dawned on me, because this is my perspective, and it's actually spiritualist perspective too, that, you know, accidents and traumatic experiences like that can weaken the aura. And with post-traumatic syndrome, you can invite the experience of wandering spirits attached to you. And I imagine that for the last 10 years, she had this and didn't know about it. So I went home. Of course, I didn't talk to her about this. This is not something you talk about in the hospital. But I went home, and I really did some inner work for her. I prayed for her very strongly. I visualized light around her. I asked that whatever energies or spirits were around her that were not for her highest good to be released into the light. And so I went back the next day, really concerned to see her. And, you know, it was that experience. You go into the hospital room, and it's completely clean. The bed has been remade. And I go, oh, my God, did she go past? And the nurse said, oh, no, she suddenly got better in the middle of the night, and they released her. So this was really an interesting story for me, that the power of energy healing, you know, in cases where even a doctor doesn't know what's wrong, that often we carry energies that are really need to be released.
Mm-hmm. Energy is basically the universe at work. It's God at work. It's spirit at work, or whatever you want to refer to it. When I'm doing a seminar, I hesitate to use the word God because some people become offended. But so, I mean, you can use your imagination, but when you're displaying energy like you do and like I have, I move my energy through words. But when you're displaying energy like that, it has a tremendous impact on the person. And Let me just share one brief thing, and then I'll be quiet and let you continue. But what I found interesting is I had a very dear friend who passed away many years ago, but prior to that, I had purchased her a Reiki certification for Christmas. And I was laying on the floor in her living room, and she was doing Reiki on me, and I sincerely felt as though I was lifting up off the floor. Now, not my body, but me. And it was a bizarre feeling. It really was. And I back then was more, I'm not skeptical at all now, and I wasn't too much then, but still in all, feeling myself rising off the floor, Pamela, was pretty bizarre. And then all of a sudden, thud, I dropped, and I said to her, I said, what happened? And she said, Sai Baba just walked through the room, she said, and I broke my concentration. Now, he's an avatar in India that also helped with Reiki also. But I just thought that was a fantastic feeling. I haven't experienced it since.
Well, what I see in that experience is that the Reiki allowed you really to feel your spirit body, and then if that was indeed Sai Baba, that the presence of a very high master also elevates
right. The
Reiki. It elevates your spirit, and mm-hmm. you were given the experience of knowing that you weren't your body, that you were this full conscious energy body.
It was fantastic.
Eternal and much longer lasting than our physical body.
God, yes. And one more thing I want to share quickly, too. You had mentioned reflexology. And I had a woman do reflexology on me back about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And she said, you had a lung collapse, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I did. And I said, but that was 42 years ago. She said, it's still in your foot. And that told me that our body stores everything, thoughts, experiences, everything. So, be very, very careful. And this is to the general audience. You already know this, but please be very, very careful what you say to yourself and anything negative that you think about yourself, because it stays in your body.
Yes, it's very true. I just also want to tell our listeners that the experience of Reiki in general, or Joe Ray even, is usually very relaxing, very peaceful. This is why we have it in the hospital, because it's really allows patients also to get in touch with their own healing abilities. And
exactly.
Right now I'm doing work in the maternity ward and also NICU, which is the ICU for infants.
Mm-hmm.
So there I've seen women, who have their water has broken and they're very much too early to give birth. Reiki helps calm them. I've seen babies in ICU recover much faster, even giving Reiki through the incubator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a wonderful thing. I think what I'm been talking about it really these extreme cases of what I call ancestral healing, which I really have another story I'd love to share, because Joe Ray really had this perspective that that we are very affected by our ancestral lineage, and we know this physically. We receive DNA from our parents and grandparents, et cetera, tendencies towards disease.
Right.
But the perspective is that it's even deeper than that, and that because of this connection between the realms, suffering of our ancestors in the so-called spiritual realm can also come down through this cord connecting us. And as we heal that, as we honor our ancestors, as we pray for them, and Judaism, we pray the Kaddish. Every religion has, I believe, some honoring of the ancestors, particularly the Japanese do. But this one story is really quite incredible to me. So I had a client who was about a 50-year-old man who was suddenly diagnosed with aggressive leukemia, had to go into Sloan Kettering the major cancer hospital in New York just immediately. He was supposed to be in for 3 months. So I had met him right before, and I would go to the hospital to give him energy treatments. And Sloan Kettering is actually also very open to, they have their own program of alternative therapies like this. And so while in one time he was receiving chemo, and I was giving him a session, which kind of lasts about 45 minutes or so, and suddenly it came to me to ask him if he had any ancestors that had been in the Holocaust. And he said, well, by the way, he did. And so he was a very anxious gentleman beyond his illness. And I said, okay, for this session, let's dedicate this to the welfare and benefit of these ancestors and see what happens. And so he didn't even believe it so much, but he just was open, and he'd always fall asleep the minute I put my hand up, even while he was getting chemo. And suddenly, as I was giving him Joray, in my mind's eye, all his ancestors lined up. It was a very strong feeling, and I could feel their suffering and their unresolution. And I didn't really quite know what to do, but I, in my own work, I enter into this story. And I decided to give each of them a flower. This is, you know, you could say this was going on in my head, but it was also, I would say, a clairvoyant vision. And each of them took the flower, but then they put it down on the ground in front of them. And I didn't quite, in the moment, know what that meant. And then to finish the Joray, and I decided, well, I will give them another bouquet. Actually, it was a bouquet in the beginning, and then I just gave them a flower. And then they nodded, and they turned around and left. And then I invited the patient to wake up again, and I said, how do you feel? I hadn't told him what had happened. He said, oh, my God, I felt the hugest relief I've ever felt in my life. So I went and told him the story. And it was only a few days later when it hit me what all that meant. These were his ancestors, men, women, children that had died in the Holocaust and had never been buried.
Oh, my God.
And when I had first given them a bouquet of white flowers, they put it on the ground to sanctify their own life and death.
Wow.
And then they were able to take another flower and leave. And so maybe you think this is some just crazy story in my head.
No, I know
what happened with my patient is that in 3 days, his 10th day in the hospital, the doctor came and said that his tumor, which had been life-threatening on his lungs, had reduced 51%, and he could go home, even though he was supposed to have stayed in the hospital 3 months. In 10 more days, the tumor completely disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And the craziest thing is that his father, who he had had so much conflict with since he was a little boy, and who was quite stingy, I have to say, suddenly sent him a check for $1,000 out of the blue.
Wow.
And so this to me was such a beautiful example of the power of healing beyond the physical and yet having it affect the physical.
Well, everything affects the physical when it's beyond the non-physical, beyond the physical, because, you know, that brings me to that old cliche, all things are not as they seem.
Exactly.
And it also brings to me the title of one of Wayne Dyer's books, You'll See It When You Believe It.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
so
true.
I can only share these stories, but it certainly continued to bolster my faith that we have to look quite deeply if we want really profound healing.
Exactly. Exactly. I've had three people go into remission from cancer through hypnosis, okay? And I've done that, and I can't say I did it, Pamela. I didn't do it. I was the messenger, okay? And what I did was I created a lot of metaphors, and all three people. One guy called me up after the third session, and he said, Bob, I'm at the doctor's. And he said, the doctor, he said, took an x-ray. He said, my tumor is only 25% the size it was when we started. I said, do you want to do another one? He said, let me do one more with you. He said, then my body knows what to do now. And that's true of every illness. And Pamela, I haven't been sick or been to the doctors in 30 years, and I'm 75, and I'm a recovered alcoholic and an ex-smoker. And I don't get sick. Why? Because I do not believe in illness. And when you can transplant through Reiki energy, when you can transplant that through Joe Ray, when you can transplant it through words into somebody's subconscious, that's half the battle.
Yes, that's why I'm excited that this is available in hospitals now.
Mm-hmm.
I think people could begin to ask for it, demand it, if
exactly.
It's not in your area. I know New York is very advanced, L.A. On the cutting edge, but it's work that's really promoted mm-hmm. by Dr. Oz, Andrew Weil, many other Gabriel Cousins, mm-hmm. many people.
Are you familiar with Dr. Eldon Taylor? Eldon Taylor is the foremost authority on subliminal technology, and he created a subliminal for freedom from cancer. And he gave it to a cancer ward in a hospital, I believe it was in Utah. And they played that continuously. And there was a 43% remission rate from just listening to that. And that's basically inner talk, the way we talk to ourselves on the inside. And it changes the way we talk to ourselves. And 43% remission rate, that's pretty darn good from a CD.
Yes. And there are people today who simply come on stage and gaze at mm-hmm. the audience. And one of these people is named Braco, that's B-R-A-C-O,
okay.
Known as a gazer. I became very experienced with his work when I met him about 4 years ago.
And I bet he drove his school teachers nuts.
I'm sorry?
I said, I bet he drove his school teachers nuts.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, actually, he now gazes online, and it's free, and it's actually this weekend, which I'll give the website, which is braco.me, mm-hmm. and all you need to do is find on the site your time zone and click live stream and experience the session. I presented actually for him for about a year and a half throughout the United States in many cities. And what we found was that people were having extraordinary experiences. We've heard where cancer dissolved, other things, asthma, but people also felt this huge heart opening mm-hmm. that was really inexplicable. And that I felt that somehow the gene of connection, of connectedness, mm-hmm. was being triggered and stimulated.
Definitely. There's no doubt about it.
And that gene, I think, is probably our most important gene to be developed in this time era.
Yes. The awareness gene, I would refer to it as. In other words, you are aware of what you're doing. And when you're receiving a stare, when you're receiving a gaze, when you're receiving, there's more to it than just one human looking at another. There's an energy flow, and that's the big thing.
And I think quantum physicists mm-hmm. are really coming up with explanations, actually, of talking about the field of frequency. People like Bruce Lipton, mm-hmm. Nassim Harriman, that we reside, we live and breathe in this field of consciousness.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I've read their books, by the way. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm an information junkie, by the way.
Well, I think it's, you know, there's a point where you do have to take in a lot of information and then decide for yourself through experience what you're open to. But
right.
clearly there is, you know, at this time we see people who are fighting, and then we see people who are trying to connect and
exactly.
grow and prosper together. I guess everyone is welcome to pick which side they want to be on.
I know. People think that fighting and holding control over other people is power. That's not power at all. Now, power is loving and riding along with like that. Here we go. I'm going to give you a perfect example, okay, and that is row, row, row your boat. Nobody else is yours. Gently down the stream. In other words, go with the current. Merrily, 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 merrily. Be happy. Life is but a dream. Think about that. That's a powerful, powerful little thing.
Exactly. Very nice.
Thank you. I got that from Wayne Dyer, too. He was my mentor since 1976.
Well, I've been reading his book, ironically, just this week. I think it was his last book, wasn't it? I Can See Clearly Now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exciting book because it really shows how someone who was in an orphanage, was pretty much abandoned by both his mother and father, grew to believe in himself.
Yes.
And to maximize his talent, to recognize his talent, which was to write and speak, even through being in the Navy for 4 years, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And he would find himself in places that were completely opposite to what his true heart wanted to do, but he found a way to make all that workable, and that's what I did find inspiring. Wherever you find yourself, if you can touch the resonance of your heart, if you can believe in yourself as a unique person somehow and connected, I think also he was connected to the flow, what you were just talking about. He was connected to the field of truth and frequency.
Exactly, exactly.
He was able to really inspire whoever he was with through that perspective.
Well, he'd been there, done that, and, you know, I lived in a homeless shelter. I've slipped in my car. I've traveled in limos. Quite frankly, Pamela, I'll take limos, okay, given a choice. But when I came out of this homeless shelter, I wrote a book and got it published. I mean, you know, the human spirit cannot be stopped.
And I think what I really get from what you just said is that many of us are mired in judgment about how things should be.
And should. There's that should
when
again.
We're unlocked from that and unlock ourselves from that imprisonment, which is a human, it's like a human frequency that is bombarding us from every direction. When we step out of that, then each human experience we have has richness, has purpose, has meaning. Like, what did you learn from living in your car?
I learned that I don't like living in my car, especially in November, because it gets cold. I'd have to wake up and start it up and run the heater for a few minutes. And I also found that, you know, I did it to myself. I did it to myself. Nobody else did it to me. I had to take responsibility, because if I didn't take responsibility, then I was not empowered to change it. And that I found out. And another person I had tremendous respect for, and I still do, even though she passed from cancer, and you're familiar with Debbie Ford, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers.
Yes.
And she scraped herself off the bathroom floor, didn't recognize herself in the mirror, checked into a long-term rehab, came out and wrote several bestsellers. That woman was amazing. So
yes, so no matter how low you go, in fact, in my book, The Power of Compassion, which you can find, I believe, excerpts on my website, which is www.soulinbloom.net. S-O-U-L.
I was going to ask you to give that because you hadn't given it yet, but anyhow, I'm glad you did. Go ahead.
Yes. But there are some excerpts from that book, but it just reminded me what you were saying, that there's such a beautiful story by a man on death row who was at his lowest. He had the opportunity and met Tibetan Buddhists who came to teach, started a meditation practice, and how that meditation practice changed him. think he was in Rikers Island, and one of the most violent prisons, always on lockdowns and having to hit the floor, and how he was able to retain his peace of mind in that is so moving.
Exactly. And I think it was Patanjali that said, the biggest challenge with people today is they do not spend enough time in the silence.
Yes, that, and silence is really important for healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many illnesses that we experience today come from constant stress.
Yes.
And that's why when someone in the hospital comes in with Reiki or something else in which you really commune with the person in silence, but in compassion, this is often a novel experience, in contrast to being poked and being analyzed and being, woken up in the middle of the night.
That's
ridiculous.
Someone
can actually sit with you in silence, mm-hmm. and yet have a deep and profound experience.
Yeah, just hold somebody's hand and look into their eyes and say nothing.
Yeah.
That is powerful. That's more powerful than anything that you could say when it comes to a healing modality, really.
Exactly.
Because that
way. Do we have time for another story?
We've got 2:43. We've got 2 minutes for a story, and then we've got to go do 3 more commercials, and then we're going to be back on for another 10 to 15 minutes. Go for it, Pamela.
Well, I think it might take a little bit long, but I'll tell you a short story. I met a gentleman very late at night in the hospital, and he told me he was a Zen student. He also didn't know also what was wrong with him. The doctors had told him he had the stomach of an alcoholic and he had never drank. So I thought, well, why don't you do your Zen practice and I will give you Joe Ray and see how you feel.
Yeah.
And I told him, actually, before we started, about how sometimes we can bear the suffering of our ancestors. And at the end of like 20 minutes together, he looked me in the eyes and tears were streaming down and he said, I know why I'm sick. And I go, why? He said, my mother was an alcoholic
mm-hmm.
and I'm suffering for her. And because she had physically also abused him, she had passed maybe many years before. He was in his 40s. But he suddenly made this connection. And from that moment on, his healing really took a different turn.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you can learn when you go into the silence, and especially in a guided meditation or something like that. We've got to take a quick break, but just hang in there. We will be back.
Great.
Hopefully. No, we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Good evening, this is Dr. Block and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
And we're back. Are you still there, Pam?
I am.
Oh, thank God. I haven't lost anybody yet. Oh, my God. Okay, you had the story that you were starting or were going to start. You've got 12 minutes. Go for it.
Well, I think something I'd like to leave people with is that we do live in this field of connectedness, and that when we're healing, when we're just living, we need to remember this connectedness and that we're not alone. So there's a story I call my mother's fur coat. My mother had lived in Houston, Texas. She had this fur coat, which I don't know why, because it never gets below 70 there. But she never let me wear it because why? Because she thought I'd get something on it, right? So it wasn't until she passed away. Like
cement? No, I'm only kidding.
Cement. Like about 5 years ago. Then, of course, the coat came to me, and I didn't wear it for many years. But suddenly, on a day that was just bitter cold, I decided to wear it, walk down to my little business center. And on the way back, what do I see but a woman on the sidewalk gushing blood? So my first impulse is always, oh, can I help? But the second was, oh, my God, I'll get something on the coat. But I did go up, and I asked if I could help. What happened, apparently she had been hit by a car. Someone had already called 911, and I'm thinking, well, what could I do? We didn't want her to get up, and we didn't want her to lie down. She was, like, gushing from the mouth. So we still had her sit up, and I decided I'd put my knee behind her back and give her support, put my coat out of the way, and I was going to give her Reiki from behind. But I really felt a little helpless because I realized that I couldn't, how much could I do? But in this moment, I really said a prayer that was very genuine, and I really asked that all the help, all the synchronistic help that could be available, be present for this woman. And in that moment, I swear it was like 15 seconds later, a waiter from the restaurant in front of us came running out with a towel. The trainer from the gym behind us came out with paper to take care of the driver's information. And then in about a few minutes, the guys arrived from emergency, the paramedics, and they were these really tall, very handsome guys that looked like angels, I have to say, in this moment. So while one was taking care of the woman, the other one was asking what happened, how did it come about, and it seemed actually that the woman, the pedestrian, might have been at fault, and suddenly, this medic looks at me straight in the eyes as if I'm the main person in this scenario. And he looks me straight in the eyes and he says, mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it with such a poignant compassion. And it was like this beam of forgiveness and love just descended on this experience of mine, a forgiveness for for my mother.
Right.
Forgiveness for the driver, for the pedestrian, for everyone involved. Something quite profound and grounded. And then suddenly the scenario changed. I got her into the ambulance. They're about to close the door, and the last thing I heard, someone yelled, "Hey, the blood stopped."
Oh, my God. That's powerful, isn't it?
So I walked away, you know, my coat was clean.
That's good. That's the main thing.
but what I learned from this was the power of the group,
mm-hmm.
which was the power of this field, which is present for all of us.
Exactly.
When we open ourselves to that resonance, that we are connected on what I often call the infinite grid of luminous light, of connecting each of us, and that love and that compassion and that power to benefit others can flow through this grid when you turn your mind, even just one person,
exactly.
to that possibility.
Well, when you open your mind to the possibilities, and I've also heard from many different sources, Pamela, that if a doctor says to the patient, and I'm talking now mostly about an oncologist, okay, about cancer, if the doctor says, well, you're going to be fine, it might take a couple of weeks, but you're going to be fine, and we're going to see you getting better, then the 65% to 75% chance of the patient healing, it goes up to 65-75%. Whereas if the doctor said, you know, go home and get your everything in order, then it drops down to maybe 10 to 15%. And that shows you the power of the mind and the energy coming from one person to another. And like you said, when you have a group like that, wow.
Exactly. And we all have that group. We create it first in our mind and then allow it to flow. The interesting thing, there's a story that I saw on the internet, which is true because they interviewed them, but it was a woman who gave birth, and the child, one twin lived and the other didn't. And, of course, they wanted to take the deceased child away, but she insisted that she be able to hold it. And she held this deceased infant for 2 hours with the father there, giving it love, giving it a mother's compassion experience, and the baby came back to life.
I believe
two
that. Oh,
hours
God.
Later.
I believe that. I've heard stories similar to that. Not that one, but I've heard stories similar to that. And when I give a seminar entitled Life is a Feeling Experience, is a story about two baby girls, twins, that are just about a week old, and how one of them was failing and the other one was very strong, and one very sharp young nurse put the strong one in with the weak one, and the strong one put her arm over the weak one. And the next time I saw those twins, they were both 17. And that was amazing because the strength went from the strong one to the weak one, and they balanced.
Yes, all these stories hopefully inspire us. Right?
They inspire me, and I hope they inspire others. And I want to share something else, too, is if anybody next weekend, the 31st and the 1st, comes out to the expo in New Hope, Pennsylvania, I'm going to be a speaker there Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to be a speaker there Saturday midday, and a speaker there Sunday in the afternoon. And I'll be speaking about some of what Pamela and I have talked about. And I also have a bunch of my subliminals and my CDs and two CD set of a seminar I gave at the Regency House Hotel in Pompton Plains a year or two ago. But, I mean, everything is there. Everything is discounted at the place because I don't have to mail them. And, I mean, if you come out, God bless you. Hopefully you'll come out and walk away with something. And I hope listening to Pamela and myself dialogue, mostly Pamela today because she's the guest, but I hope you walk away with a different slant, a different paradigm of the way life is. And one of the books I will recommend, Pamela, you've probably heard of it or read it, is a book entitled Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. Wow.
Yes.
That's a one. I've read it three times.
Excellent. So I also make custom tapes for people I work with, and had really also excellent success of people really retraining their mind, of using the power of their mindfulness and their inner deep resources, which I think is really essential when you're healing.
Well, you've got to use, you've got to access what you've got. In the majority of people, I hope by the end of this show, which is almost over, we've got 3 minutes left, people begin to see things differently. But when you realize what you have within you and you start to use it, you know, Earl Nightingale said many, many years ago, he said, we, each individual person has enough energy and power within them to light a small town for 24 hours. And can you imagine if you have that much power within you, why are you doing nothing? Really? I mean, look at me. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm an ex-smoker, okay? I'm a high school graduate. I've had psychologists, PhDs, come to me for training. And you know what's interesting is Jim Britt, who was on the show back in May, he said to me, he said, I'm going to one-up you. I said, you are? He said, yeah, I'm a high school dropout. And I had Tony Robbins come to me for training. So, I mean, you know, everybody, Pamela, myself and everybody listening and those who are not listening, you all have it within you. It's just a matter of, and I've said this to so many people, focusing. It's like a laser. A laser is nothing more than a light that is extremely focused that can cut through metal. So, I mean...
Well, I think it's our divine spark. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to have a religion. But each person has this innate, inherent spark. We've been given this just by the virtue of being alive.
Exactly.
And we need to reclaim it from the judgments, from the rejections, from our own rejection of it, most importantly, that.
Right.
And I think, as you said, each one of us has the seed of greatness in us.
We do. We have the seeds of greatness in us. Now, we have 30 seconds left. Pamela, I'd like you one more time before we have to close off. Give your contact information so that if people want to get in touch with you, call you, email you, or whatever, for any further information, it'll be easy for them.
Yes, you can email me at Pamela Bloom, P-A-M-E-L-A, Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, at NAC.com, NAC.com, and my website is...
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Donald Trump is using a nationally televised town hall meeting to discuss his campaign. On NBC's Today, the Republican presidential candidate addressed the recent Iowa polls that showed him behind Ben Carson.
But I will say that I think I'm winning in Iowa. I think I'm doing really well with evangelicals, with Tea Party, with everything else. So we'll see what happens. But that was the only one where I have a slight, not lead.
The Republican candidate took questions from a small audience pertaining to foreign relations in the Middle East and Russia, the Mexican border, his hair, and the refugee crisis in Syria. He reiterated his belief that the United States is currently run by incompetent people with weak foreign policies and terrible trade agreements. Vice President Joe Biden is setting the record straight over reports about his late son's dying wish that he run for president. In an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes, Biden said his son Bo wanted him to run.
The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the...
...at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Donald Trump is using a nationally televised town hall meeting to discuss his campaign. On NBC's Today, the Republican presidential candidate addressed the recent Iowa polls that showed him behind Ben Carson.
But I will say that I think I'm winning in Iowa. I think I'm doing really well with evangelicals, with Tea Party, with everything else. And we'll see what happens. But that was the only one where I have a slight, not lead.
The Republican candidate took questions from a small audience pertaining to foreign relations in the Middle East and Russia, the Mexican border, his hair, and the refugee crisis in Syria. He reiterated his belief that the United States is currently run by incompetent people with weak foreign policies and terrible trade agreements. Vice President Joe Biden is setting the record straight over reports about his late son's dying wish that he'd run for president. In an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes, Biden said his son Beau wanted him to run, but reports that Beau made the request on his deathbed were not accurate. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
I'm here to drink the coffee.
Morning, Dan. Hey, isn't it a little early for a Halloween costume?
Why, no. Kmart and Sears are giving Shop Your Way members millions of dollars in surprise points to use towards purchases on costumes and decorations.
Wow.
The scariest part? These points expire October 31st.
I should check my surprise points online.